Welcome back to the D1 Softball Podcast. I'm Jenna Becerra with my co-host Amanda Lorenz, and today's episode is brought to us by our friends at S2 Cognition. S2 Cognition delivers a revolutionary approach to helping athletes understand how in-game decisions impact their performance from the youth levels all the way to the pros. We have a lot for today's lineup, Amanda. I'm excited.
Oh, it's going to be a great episode. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah. So for the lineup, we have top 25 rankings discussion. Then we'll head into an interview with Texas A&M head coach Trisha Ford. And we'll wrap things up with the plays of the week and the win and whiff of the week. All right. Let's start off with top 25 rankings. This is always a hot topic, as we know, and so many things happened this past weekend. So to give some of the main updates to what our top 25 looks like right now, really the top three actually have remained unchanged. Texas is still at number one, Oklahoma number two, Stanford number three, even though the last two did drop a single game in a conference series. But within the top 10 from last week to this week, eight teams lost at least one game. Half of those also lost a series. That's Oklahoma State and then Florida, LSU, and Georgia from the SEC. So all but Texas and Washington had dropped a game, and Washington had their bye week in the Pac-12, so they just had a couple of midweeks. But Kentucky rejoins the rankings after a home series win over Georgia, and that was their second conference series win of the year. And then Texas State drops out after losing the Sun Belt series to Louisiana, 2-1. Lots going on here.
Yeah, and starting to feel a little bit more real, right? Like it feels like we're getting really close to, which I can't believe it, mayhem and postseason is getting so close. So it's starting to feel like the rankings are starting to matter a little bit more, just in regards to how postseason will shake up.
Exactly. And I know you mentioned that in a previous episode too. It's like you think about, okay, well, let's look at the rankings. Who would be the matchups at regionals?
Yeah.
Super regionals. Like how would this affect things in postseason? Which I agree with you. It's crazy that we're already thinking about that kind of thing. Every coach call I've had this week has been like, can you believe it's already, you know, mid-April, almost getting into May? And it's like, no, we can't. But
no, it's been flying by. Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah, very true. Very true. Well, we will answer some fan questions as usual, a couple that we have to just kind of talk through with you all. So the first one is, will the three canceled Pac-12 conference games hurt UCLA in the postseason seedings? I definitely have thoughts, but I'd love your gut reaction, Amanda.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think so. The only thing that I think is like, it's really unfortunate with it being the last year of the Pac-12, and I'm sure they want to get in as many games as possible, but I don't think that it will actually hurt the postseason seedings. I think that it is what it is, and the committee will just look at the other games that they've played and what is, you know, what they can look at their body of work rather than, you know, what could have been.
Yeah. That's what I would like to happen. But I'm not sure. Possibly is my kind of take that. So the context too, for those who don't know, is UCLA game three against Oregon was canceled, and then games two and three against Cal were canceled due to rain and unplayable field conditions. Really, you know, such a bummer to not see those games play out. And when it comes to hosting, like their seedings, obviously 64 teams make the tournament. The top 16 host regionals. And right now, UCLA is number 16 in RPI and number 15 in Diamond Sports rankings. Obviously not the only thing the committee looks at, but these are important pieces. But they're ranked 12th in the top 25 rankings, but that's where they sit for the additional data that we have. You look at Oregon too, they're number 29 in RPI and 28 in DSR. Cal's number 24 in RPI and 36 in DSR. So these are both tournament teams, and they've both been in the top 25 rankings. So wins over teams like that could have helped UCLA. Now, no guarantee that they would have won, right? Especially because they're tough opponents. But, you know, they did win all the games they did play in those two series. So if you think about, like, getting another win or two against those teams, it could have helped potentially boost those types of numbers.
Yes.
And it's not the first time they've had games canceled too. In Clearwater, we saw a lot of people have games canceled, for example. So they'll be at Stanford this weekend, and UCLA will have played 10 less games than Stanford has on the season. So just in terms of experience too, with a young team, you know, that's not ideal, right? Like, of course you want to get games in.
Getting them ready to play in the Big Ten for some weather delays. They're not used to that. LA is not used to having all these rainouts. So God is just priming them for what's to come.
That's a really good point. That's a really good point. They're going to have to deal with snow, potentially.
Oh, yeah. So much fun in store.
Oh, my gosh. That's so true. Their strength of schedule is underappreciated, though, in my mind. Yeah. Like, because they have played 13 ranked games. And I think 9 of them at the time were against top 10 teams. So their strength of schedule in DSR is top 10, and they're 16 in RPI data. So obviously they did have a bit of a rough start. Like, there's no doubt about that, but they did go to some tough tournaments with Clearwater, Mary Nutter, Judy Garman. Like, these are really tough tournaments where they played some tough teams. And you can see they're a totally different team now than they were in February, which is what you hope for, right? As a squad. So I think there should be a Los Angeles regional as of right now, but there are still games to be played. Oh, next one. How does Florida lose 2 of 3 to Mizzou, but still ahead of them?
And then you can say, how does Florida win 2 of 3 from LSU, and LSU drops 2 of 3 to Auburn, and LSU is above Florida, right? Like, there's, yeah. But also Florida lost the midweek to USF as well. So that goes into it. But I think just, I think that a series win against LSU was huge for the Gators, and then winning the series against Alabama. But yeah, I think Missouri has had a really, really good season and is going to have a really good postseason as well. But it was a good series to watch for sure.
Yeah. I mean, when I was digging into some of the numbers for Florida too, because I think there's an argument you could make for both, kind of to your point, like there's arguments you could make for many different things, but Florida's third in the SEC right now with a 10-5 record, right? And Mizzou's 8th, and they have a sub 500 record, 7-8. If you just look at the big picture, but then after this weekend of games, the Gators have better numbers as a team in batting average, ERA, fielding percentage. So like all around, all the big parts of the game, they lead, but they're also leading the SEC in batting average, slugging, on base percentage, runs, RBIs, stolen bases. Like, there are so many things that they are just excelling at this year. So I think if you look at those, again, only some factors of the long list that you could look at, you keep that in mind. But then for Mizzou to be potentially above Florida, they are higher in the RPI. They're 17 in strength of schedule. They're 11 in DSR. Overall and for strength of schedule. Florida's 18 RPI, and they are number 7 in the DSR, but they're number 22 in strength of schedule. So, or Mizzou is actually, let me see, I'm looking at all the numbers here. Yeah, they're 17 strength of schedule in the RPI. Florida's 29 strength of schedule, and they're 22, Florida's 22 strength of schedule, Mizzou's 11. So, you know, I think head-to-head has value as well, because there's what's on paper and there's what's on the field. Because on the field is where things are settled. But again, these, whether it's data, whether it's intangibles, like, this is why I think watching games is so important too, because there are also matchups, like what kind of pitching is going against what kind of offense, like those types of things matter. That's why sometimes we watch a game and we're like, oh, that was an upset. It's like, well, think about the matchup, like the matchup itself maybe really did favor like that team that might be ranked lower, for example, than the other team. So I don't know.
Great point.
Super interesting. Definitely recommend following along with our D1 softball bracketology too. Our teammate Eric Lopez is really good. It's impossible, it feels like, to get in the heads of the selection committee, but his analysis is really insightful. So recommend that for everyone.
Love it.
Oh man. Well, I think it's about time for us to head into our interview with head coach of Texas A&M, Tricia Ford.
Let's do it.
Super excited to welcome in the head coach at Texas A&M, 4-time conference coach of the year, and Hall of Fame player at St. Mary's. Good to have you, Coach Ford.
Yes, thanks for having me. It's always I always love getting back with my girl. So yes, it's nice to see you both.
You know, I had to.
We're so excited.
Yeah, I had to shout out your playing days too.
Obviously. I know. I was like, that's a long time ago. Yeah, not yeah. we'll get to today's stuff. It yeah.
Well, yeah, your team is playing plenty right now. Obviously, coming off the series win at Alabama. I know your daughter's also playing softball, and then like you guys have a game today. So yeah. How is everything in the craziness?
It's been good. You know, as you guys both know, you guys both played very, very high level in some power conferences. The grind of conference is the grind of conference. And so I felt like we started off conference really well. And then, you know, you kind of hit that middle point and it's like, all right, how are we going to figure this out? You're always going to hit a bump in conference. I think that any good team hits a bump and it's really how you respond to it. And so obviously when we went to LSU, we hit a bump. And I felt like after that, we were still trying to find get our legs underneath us. And so, you know, after our first game up in Alabama this weekend, and obviously they're a great team, nothing about that, but it's more about like what I'm seeing as a coach. I spent a lot of time with them. And so I think for me, it was a good reset. You know, I called some players into my room after game one and, you know, I kind of express what I'm feeling and what I'm seeing. And then it's a great opportunity for me to hear them. Right. And I think coaching, I think the one thing that I didn't do as a young coach and what I, you know, try to do as a better now as an older coach is listen and shut up. And so, you know, I spent some time, you know, with some players, we had a group come in and I just listened to them. I'm like, what's going on? You know? And then I felt like they responded really well. So I think you got to figure out like how to, you know, work with your players, figure out what makes them tick. And sometimes you just need to be really honest with them and they need to be really honest with you. And you got to figure out your middle ground. But I just felt like we competed much better. You know what I mean? Like it just every game. And I talked to them yesterday at practice of just, it was kind of like batter X. So like if JB, if you were up to bat, it was like JB and the team against whoever was on the mound. And so when you start to feel that, that's the fun. That's, you know, that's the fun stuff.
Oh, thanks for sharing that insight with us. I love it. That's so great. And you could feel that watching them as well. Like the flip of game two and three of the way that your team competed, it did seem like it wasn't just individuals going up there. It really felt like that and you could tell with the celebrations, just with anything good that happened, it was like the whole team was on that same page, which is so fun to watch as fans as well and be a part of, right? Like those are such special moments, especially doing it in Tuscaloosa, which is a really hard place to kind of rein it in and figure out how to just worry about us, right? Like that's a really hard place. So all credit to you of being able to listen and shut up and hear what they had to say and let them be them, because I think like it's really hard to do in the middle of a series, let alone in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, no, and you guys both know, JB, we played super regionals there, right? Didn't we?
Yeah, I still love PTSD, yeah.
Yeah, and then obviously, Amanda, you're well-versed in there. And you know, Alabama's a great team. It's a great program. It's a storied program. Murph knows how to get those fans rallied, you know, all those things. And so I feel like I'm hoping that we kind of flipped a switch and now going to, you know, kind of keep going the way that I know that we're capable of going.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. It's you never know.
It's so true. You never know. That is so true. I mean, okay. So I always, Amanda and I talk about this when we're talking about like rankings and polls and things, like as players and like as a coach, right? You can't really worry about that stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, going into this SEC season, you all were picked eighth. You just moved into second in the SEC.
Yeah.
I would say, what are your thoughts as to why or like how you were able to do that and what you need to do from here on out?
Yeah, I mean, I knew we had gotten some pieces that were going to help us, you know, tremendously. And I'm not a ranking girl. Like I'm just put my head down and at the end of the year, like let's look at what it looks like and be really proud of what you do. Because I think if you start to live in that world, things get foggy, you know, and really like what I really want from my players when they leave our program is find their voice, right? Be able to hold a conversation, be able to stand up on your own two feet, but I really want them to understand how to dive into the moment, not this big thing, but where my feet are right now. Because I feel like you do great things when you don't worry about all the other crap around you and you really just go 100% all in and what your task is ahead. And so I think for me, when you can like develop that skill set in life, man, like you're going to be so successful because you understand how to put distractions away, how to dive in, how to motivate others, how to be part of others. Like there's just so many life skills that, and it's fun, you know, and those of you that know me, like, I hate the word fun, like what the hell is fun, you know? And so, you know, they joke with me cause I'm like, winning is fun. Like you want to talk about fun, winning is fun. And it's not necessarily right. Winning the game, but it's like winning the moment, winning this pitch, winning, like there's so many ways to win. And so for me, like after the game, I was pretty pumped up. My kids were like, Mom, I haven't seen you like that ever, you know?
Yeah.
But getting them to like feel that bond of like how much that really, that's what fun is. That is like us against them. I don't know. It's just, you want them to experience those moments because when you can kind of compound those and get more and more, that's when you have really special teams.
I saw you in there screaming with the group. I was like, okay, Coach Ford.
Yeah, that's not a very common, yeah.
Oh, gosh, I love it. Perfectly said. And I think, you know, obviously this is year two at A&M. And yeah, I think I counted 10 transfers on your team. That's a part of your squad now. So just talk about like you're building your own thing at A&M and building on what they already had, obviously is tremendous. And the resources that you have at A&M just second to none, truly, with support, fan support. But just talk about with what you're trying to build there in your own way and how those transfers are able to really contribute to your success. And like what you said of setting the standard, like to stand on your own two feet and speak for yourself and in life after softball too.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, Joe had done such a great job of the foundation and Texas A&M does a great job because of their core values and the type of people that it already recruits. From an academic piece, from, you know, a life piece, there's just so many things that really align with me and kind of what I stand for. And so a lot of those things were in place, if I'm being perfectly honest, of just what a Texas A&M student athlete looks like and how do they conduct themselves. And so for me, it was bringing in a little bit more athleticism, bringing in a little bit more, you know, I'm a little more rough around the edges. That's just who I am. And so bringing people that love to compete and grit and kind of have, you know, I always say like, I got a little spice, like I need a little spice, you know? And so, you know, it's just filling in those pieces, obviously, you know, pitching the middle of the infield, you always got to kind of build from that center field, shortstop, pitcher, catcher. Like if you get those pieces kind of intact, there's a lot that you can do. And so, you know, obviously there's some transition when a new coach comes in. So you have players leaving, you're trying to grab players. And then, you know, for me, just because I've done this for as long as I've done this now, you're smart about really aligning yourself with, you know, I feel comfortable in our skill set, being able to teach you softball things, but I can't teach your insides. And so that's really what I recruit. And you'll hear me say that over and over, like I recruit parents and I recruit insides because this is hard. There is such a huge jump from high school ball, travel ball to this. You're with us every single day. It's not where you show up and you play Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You know, you practice maybe once a week. I mean, practice isn't, it's just very, very different. And so being able to like deal with that grind of day in and day out, you know, it's very different. And they'll tell you like practices are hard for me. Like I love to practice. Like if we could practice every day, the girls are like, let's play games. Like we're done, you know? But if your preparation, right, is harder than the actual game, you play the game, right? We practice the skills. And so that's the piece that, you know, I really want them kind of going back to Amanda, what you were saying about life. Like if you really, you fall to the level of your preparation, right? So if you prepare at this level, when your job or your whatever you're doing, your task is here, you're going to be here. So you're always going to be the cream of the crop. You're always going to be the leader. You're always going to be successful. Like there's, even when things don't go well, right? Even if you get fired, all of those things, you know how to respond because you've always prepared for this. And so that's, you know, that's our goal. Like practice is hard. Practice should be exhausting because when game comes, you are prepared, right? You know how to respond. You know how to handle adversity because that's life. That is in a nutshell. So I could go on and on. Sorry, but.
Oh, no, please do. I'm ready to play, Coach Ford. Like, this is awesome. Oh,
we'll take you. Well, yeah, get in that portal, girl. Come on.
I was going to say, I almost feel like I'm in a uniform again. I'm like, yeah. Wait, are we at the field right now? Circled up.
Or... You guys so got good. COVID years. Let's go. Let's go.
So good. Well, and there are such good examples too in the alumni base that you all have of people who do succeed in life, right? Like an Amanda Scarborough, Tori Vidalis, mm-hmm. like there's so many great people. So how has it been kind of connecting that piece as well to the team?
They have been wonderful. You know, and Coach Brock, who was here before Joe, Coach Evans, he had a really good group. I mean, they were winning national championships. They were going to the World Series. They had some superstar pitchers, you know, Sean Andaya. We have Lori Stahl. I mean, just the list goes on and on. And what was really cool is when I took the job, they all reached out because it's the Aggie network. It's about the Aggie. It's not about I'm the head softball coach. I'm part of their program, the program that they built, you know. And so I've really enjoyed getting to know them. It's been wonderful. And we've had a couple alumni events, you know, and we have so many pieces that are still connected with softball. You have Jamie Lowe Price, who's involved, you know, heavily in this league. And, you know, Megan Gibson Lofton, she's been doing radio for us. So like I looked up one game and I had probably 15 alums, you know, Ags up in the stands, and some was doing radio. Tori was doing TV. Amanda was there because she had a day off. Like, it was just like really heartwarming of just, you know, the love, the network of, you know, they want Texas A&M to succeed. And, you know, we have a little text thread together, and it's been nice to kind of get them to help me get this place going the direction that we all want it to go. And so, I don't know that you do it here without their support, to be honest with you, because this network is so tight that, you know, if you aren't really in it with the former, you know, Aggies, it's going to make it rough. And I think just by them leading it and saying, how can we help? And, you know, I make mistakes and like, hey, coach, like you can't say that, or you can't. And like, okay, got it. You know, you know, this place is full of tradition, you know, and so as somebody coming in, you know, the first year I blundered a bunch of times, and I'm like, just so you know, I'm going to keep blundering, and you just have to like tell me because I don't get offended, you know? And so they've been really good.
Oh, that's so cool. I think that's also like, there's certain places that the alumni is just different because of the tradition and just the school, you know, it's just different, especially like from the West Coast, you know, there's a lot more things going on. And when you would play at certain schools, you could just tell like the tradition of the school and not necessarily the softball program, like lives with them forever. Like I remember Coach Joe McDonald was coaching at Florida, and she's wearing her Aggie ring every day. And I'm like, are you gonna take that off? Like take it off, especially when we play A&M, like that needs to go. And she's like, I never take it off. She's like, don't get me wrong, I wanna beat them, but this will stay on my hand always and forever. And I was like, I'm, you know, from Southern California. I'm like, that's kind of weird. And then now, like, you know, growing up, and then I'm obviously a crazy psycho Gator alum where I'm like, I live and die with it. And now I get it, right? Like, it's just really cool to see these people who love their program and their school so much, where like, it doesn't matter who's coming in and out. They just want the best for their program. And just, they see how special it is too, right? So like, they want it for your kids that are in their program to like really absorb how special the place is. And, you know, and obviously they can see that if they keep showing up and supporting, because it makes them happy to see them soaking in all of the specialness that is College Station.
Yeah. And you're right. Cause all of us are West Coasters on this call right now. And you just don't see tradition like you do in the SEC. And I obviously I grew up in the pack, right? Like we know this, but it is different. And for me, I love that. Like, I love all of the traditions of A&M, and I've been able to obviously visit other universities, and it's just different. Like, Amanda, I don't know that you could have put it in better of just like, there is a connection to your university that it supersedes everything. And it's just, it's, you know, it's really a special.
Yeah. And also just like going through the recruiting process and being females, right? Like that feeling, that differentness and that support as a female sport. And obviously we're growing and it's becoming the it thing, right? You know, to like support female athletics, but like, it's been different in the Southeastern Conference for a long time. And that's what's been like, why we've said like, it just means more and it's annoying, but it's true, right? Like it's, it means more when there's that many people in the stands, that many people who care that much about a softball program winning and losing and all of our stats and where we're from and all of these things where it's just, you're right. Like the tradition is just different, and how cool for these programs to invest, these schools to invest in their females.
Yeah. I mean, every day, like right now, I'm looking out at our field, like our field is like, it's just, you know, they did it right. You know, I was like, thank you, Coach Evans. Thank you, Monty and Becky Davis. Like you did it right. You know? Yeah, it is. It's, the facilities are top notch.
I mean, even being the West Coast, one of us that has stayed on the West Coast, right? There's no denying though what the SEC has done for the growth of softball. Like that is, it has helped it absolutely explode for all the reasons that you all said. And even locally, I feel like it's helped the growth of the game, like at all of these universities, like the local areas.
Yeah.
And now Coach Ford, Emma, who I remember as a little toddler, and she doesn't even remember me now, which I was crushed when I found that out, by the way, when I saw her in person, I was like the old person being like, Emma, I remember when you were just a little kid. She's like, I don't know who you
are. Who you are. Yeah.
I was like, you used to love me, I swear. But anyway, you're raising her, not only in the softball world there, but you're raising her in the community too. How has that part been with the family?
Yeah, it's been great. So, for you two, when you become moms, JB will tell you this. So Emma obviously was born when I was at Stanford. So she was born in August. Well, we had practice starting and, you know, we had practice. So I would bring her to work. When practice started, we had a little shed that was on the side of the field, like in like down the first baseline. I propped the bottle up, put her in the shed, closed the door, and we practice. Yeah. So that kid's been literally raised on the softball field. And she's so easy because of it. And Amanda, you remember her from USA, our USA days. But yeah, part of the reason why I moved to College Station, though, was, you know, for us that have families, you can't just look at, is this job the right fit? It has to be a fit for your family and how you want to raise your kids and how you and your partner want to raise kids. And so, you know, my husband and I, College Station aligns with us very, very well. And so that is a key component, though. I feel like, you know, when you're making these decisions of, you know, hey, you know, where am I going to raise my kids? I was at Fresno State for a while. Some of you guys know this, some of you don't. And when I was there, I loved it. And I still miss the people there, to be honest with you. But I always said, if I could find a Fresno State on crack, like that's my dream job. And what I meant was the small town community, but the big time athletics. And that to me is what I really found in College Station. And so it's been nice. Emma's driving now, which I was like, oh my gosh. Right. Yeah. She's driving. But it's good because there's no highways or anything here. So it makes my mama heart like good. I actually went and watched her play some softball last night. So I'm just enjoying it. Like I don't get to see her play high school ball as much because she plays on Friday nights, which we're tend to be playing, but she's in our dugout a lot. And she's a coach's kid. She just sees the game differently. You know, we're able to have really good conversations. I just enjoy it. I actually on the drive in this morning was laughing about some of the things we were talking about last night, because in her school, they can't come home with the parents. They take the bus and they have three opportunities to come home. So we used our last one and she's like, Mom, I want to come home with you because we need to catch up on the Bama series. And so we were breaking it all down and, you know, she had some questions of like, what happened in this situation? And so, yeah, I enjoy it. So it's a big summer for her though, this summer, because her September 1 will be this September. So we have a lot of things to kind of get straightened out. Yeah. So we'll see.
Oh my gosh. I love it. I had like all these questions about like the now, and I feel like we've just totally talked about, you know, your program as a whole and family life, but gosh, I just love it so much. Like this is such great insight, and for like future recruits to get to know this part of you is really awesome, because this is special. And just talk about like, I mean, my husband is coaching Division I baseball. So I hear the like the sacrifices that coaches go through, and especially with the sacrifices that the kids go through. And obviously you talked about like, you know, you're not at many of her games, if any, but then also on the flip side, what they have access to that no other kids get access to, like you're building, you know, obviously you're not just raising your own daughter, but you're raising a bunch of other women in your program as well. And for her to be around, these badass women who have big goals and stand on their own 2 feet. And just, so yeah, you miss out on a lot of family time, but wow, with what you're able to give her because of this job. And it gives me goosebumps to think about like these things that she gets to experience before she's even on a college softball campus, like ready to roll. Gosh, and it's just so, so special. So yeah, I miss out on some moments, but you get such cool ones too that no one else can get.
Yep, I agree, Amanda. I say that this is the best place to raise kids. Like life is about balance. You're never gonna be perfect. But I'm like, Emma gets to be around strong, athletic, smart women. And I'm like, my son, even more importantly, like, you know how cool it is? He is all into the softball world. Like, he is like, Mom, did you see this? Like, did you check the scores? Like, this is where you're at. This is your RPI. And I'm like, this is so, but he also gets to be around strong, athletic, smart. And I was like, and he's going to need it because he's going to need somebody to put him in his place. So,
period.
Yeah. And so it's just, there's so much from this. And, you know, EJ can, my son can like mock any pitcher. He's like, you'll watch him in the bullpen and he's pitching. And I'm like, this is so cool. And he doesn't know, like, he doesn't know any different. And he's talking to his buddies about it. And I'm like, this is the why right here. There it is. Yeah.
Yes. Shout out to Eddie too. Yeah. I know it's like we're ladies first around here, but yeah, shout out to Eddie and EJ as well. I do remember when Emma, I remember when you told us all that you were pregnant with EJ, because it was like at the end of our highlight video, I think, at our team banquet. And it's just Emma on screen. She's like, hey, Stanford girls, Mom's having a baby. And we were all like, what? You know, and now here he is pitching in the bullpen. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah. it's fun. Enjoy it. I tell you that, like, man, it flies. Like I tell Eddie all the time, my husband, I'm like, I'm only guaranteed 2 more years with my daughter in the house like that. Yeah. So yeah, it's here. Yeah.
That is wild.
Yeah, it is.
Well, I've loved just catching up with you too, Coach Ford. Like, I forgot we were even recording, you know, for a while. I'm just like, oh, let's chat. You know, it's so great. Thank you for doing this, especially in the middle of all the craziness.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I thank you guys. Yeah. Like I said, I could talk to you guys forever. So yeah, I enjoy it.
Well, we appreciate your time so much. This was so fun to get to hear about you and just, and getting us fired up for the rest of our day, because that was just so awesome just to hear more about you. And I'm just so happy for you. It really feels like you're loving where you're at, and you can see it with the way that you act and also with the way that your team acts as well. So just super excited for you and good luck the rest of the season.
Thanks, Amanda. We'll see you guys soon. You guys take care.
Yes. Say hi to everyone we talked about too, the whole fam.
I will.
So fun talking to Coach Ford, Amanda. Like, this is
the best part. She's so great. And I think like what a great hire for Texas A&M. And it's been really fun to see her settle in and make that program her own and you know, celebrate the best things about Texas A&M and also just like make it her own program as well. And the kids obviously love her. Like they are playing really, really well under her. And it's been really fun to watch her teams compete.
It's been so long since she was my assistant coach at Stanford that sometimes it's still weird for me to see her in like other colors, but it's, totally. It's not on the one hand, because I'm like, oh, well, yeah, she makes sense. Right. Like at A&M, like, and what she's building there is great. But then the other part of me is like, oh yeah, this is kind of strange, but that's kind of what it's all about, you know?
Yes. It's really cool.
All right. Well, let's head into our plays of the week.
All right. I'm going first this week with my my play of the week. So I'm going to put that up on the screen first, and then I'll talk about it.
Chopper, third base. Play is made. Coming home to score. Wildcats walk it off. Wildcats walk it off. They get the victory, but now...
This was a really fun series to watch, right? Like it was, there was some awesome moments, some scary moments, but really just two really good programs competing against each other. And I've said this before many times, but I just love this OG Arizona offense coming to play again. Like what is more poetic than an Arizona slapper using that hard dirt and pounding that ball into the ground to get a run home for the walk-off. So Jasmine Perez-Chica comes up and hits the ball straight on top of home plate to get the highest bounce possible to score Allie Blanchard. And wow, like so fun to watch, to use their speed. And just, I think we've been missing that part of our game, right? Like so much is like the home run and like dominant pitching is getting celebrated. Like give me the small game, like seeing these slappers, like use their speed to their advantage and bounce the ball and bunt and do just cool things is so fun to watch. And I love it. And I just feel like they are totally maximizing that on their team and using their hard dirt. I know that that's a strategy for the Arizona grounds crew. It's like, they try to make the area around home plate as hard as possible so that their slappers can be successful, and it gave them a win. So I love it. So awesome.
Yeah, playing to your strengths, right? Like, yes. I totally agree. I was so glad when you picked this one this week, just because it, to your point, yeah, it's like we don't always have to have these gigantic moments. Sometimes little things get it done. Yeah. Awesome. Well, mine is actually kind of one of those little things too this week. There were a lot of different directions we could have went, but it's actually a stolen base at second. So let's take a look.
Day, the outside pitch, Leo takes off and
wow, did the
a safe call, a beautiful throw from Goff. Looked like it got there in time, but the tag must have missed her, and I'll be shocked if we don't get a review.
Oh wow.
Somebody call SportsCenter.
Somebody call SportsCenter for avoiding a tag. But, you know, again, like you said, Amanda, the little things make a difference. Like she finished the play. I think that's why, to me, there are layers to this. It's like the base runner herself, Jen Cilio, finished the play, like didn't give up, even though the ball beat her, right? Like the throwdown beat her. And also, this is a good reminder that my infield brain was activated, where it's like, see, it's not just the throw, it's also the tag that's really important to finish a play. So, but then, of course, you know, I respect the matrix moves, obviously. But then Natasha Watley also, like you could see in the tweets there, like she shouted out Jen for her major skills. And she was like, teach us your ways. But then Jen responded with a photo of her as a young kid with Natasha saying 10-year-old me is screaming. And that was like cherry on top for me. I'm like, yep, that's what it's all about.
Oh, yeah. I mean, first of all, the play, like talk about your competitiveness, taking front seat. Like, I don't care. If you beat me, I'm still going to figure out a way to win the situation. So gosh, I just love it so much. Like so cool, so savvy. And then also like my heart exploded with the Natasha Watley response and then her having the picture ready to go of, wow, like that's just so cool. Like, you know, the greatest in our game, like still loving it and giving it praise. And then, you know, immediately getting thrown in back in her face, like, hey, like you know, you don't know what those greats have done for like players like me and Jen, and like knowing like, wow, like this is so cool now, like for you to not acknowledge something that I did that was cool, where like everything that Natasha did was so cool to her, to me, to us, but so cool. I love it so much.
Yes. Yeah. Also, teach us your ways. It's like Natasha teaches your ways. But, yeah. Like, you know, like there's so much respect in that too. Like it was so cool.
Yes. I love it.
Oh man. Well, now it's time for us to head into the win and whiff of the week.
So I have the win this week, so I'll put it up first and then chat a little bit about it. But so the win of the week is also a little sad as well. During Friday's game, Hannah Delgado dove for a ball and kind of went into the fence a little weird and got injured and had to get ambulance came on the field, had to get her off the field on a stretcher, and definitely a really, really scary moment. So our thoughts and our prayers are definitely with Hannah Delgado and the Oregon softball program, and obviously Arizona's as well. Immediately the next day, they had flowers and a card with some awesome messages in there for not only Hannah, but like their team as well. No one wants to see a teammate go down. So just a really classy move by Arizona, making sure like they know like, hey, it's much more than softball. Saw the girls praying together after the play. Really classy moment, definitely a win while also a really sad moment, but really hope that everything is okay with Hannah. And obviously she's in great care. So we'll be thinking of her, sending love and hope that everything goes perfect with any appointments or anything that she has going on.
Yeah, definitely. And I saw an update from the team the next day. So Hannah did get to talk to her teammates on Saturday the next day, which is great, before their game. And she was going to remain under observation for a few days, but was expected to make a full recovery. So that was great news, right? And I agree with you. Also, like the fans were very classy too. It was like everybody understood that it was way bigger than softball. Like the coaches got it. Caitlin Lowe was not rushing anything. She was giving Oregon as much time as they needed, and the team and Hannah specifically. Like the fans were respectful as well and like cheering for Hannah. And it was like a really nice moment in softball in the midst of something really tough, like you said.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, on a less inspirational note, the whiff of the week is even hard to describe. So let's just look at it for a second. There was literally a bee delay at ASU this past weekend. So you can see there's a cluster of bees on the net behind home plate. And the tweets were pretty entertaining, I will say, coming from Sun Devil Softball. But they had a delay literally for bees. You know, the weather was gorgeous too, like this weekend. So that's, I think, one of the ironic parts. It's like, really, like Cal and UCLA are getting rained out. You have gorgeous weather in Tempe, but you still have a bee delay. Like, what's going on?
Gosh, and the Arizona State SID always has like the funniest tweets. Like, they always have something ready to go and like a funny way to describe what's going on. So, of course, the situation presented a perfect opportunity for some more like funny things. But wow, like, that's so annoying and scary. Like, I'd be like, oh my God, get them out of here. Like, I just want to focus on playing softball. I don't want to focus on maybe if I'm going to get stung.
Totally. And it was like they started the game. It was like top of the first. And they're like, we have to call it for bees. And they had to literally call an exterminator to come to the field. So the game was supposed to be at 5. They finally started playing again at like 7:45. So that long of a delay. That's why I'm like, this is a whiff. Yeah, absolutely. Like, no way. Also, little weird because there is a minor league baseball team in Utah called the Salt Lake Bees. So I'm like, I don't know if that's ironic, poetic, full circle, like, don't know if it has anything to do with anything, but fun fact, I guess.
So great. Man.
Yeah. DJ was bumping too. So that's always a plus. You know, I saw some cha-cha slide going on with the players, like while they're waiting. And I think Utah even tweeted at Salt Lake Bees and they were like, what are you doing?
It's you.
What are you doing right now? Yeah, seriously. Man, so funny. Well, I mean, much more to come still. Like, so much has happened this season already, but so much more to come.
I know. It's like been just so fun to watch. And obviously we're going to get into the thick of things here soon. So excited to keep watching for some great matchups again this weekend.
Absolutely. I will be calling UCLA at Stanford on Pac-12 networks on Friday and Saturday. And then on Sunday, I'll be calling Washington at Cal. So two pretty tough, really cool matchups, actually. And all the head coaches are there leading their alma maters, like really, really excited about it. And everything's sold out at Stanford too for UCLA. So I just think the energy will be,
I love it.
Will be fun. Yeah.
So good. Those are going to be really awesome games. At least I hope.
Yeah, exactly. Right. That is the hope. But anyway, if you haven't yet, subscribe, rate, and review the show too. Let us know what else you want to hear from us about, because we love chatting with you all every week.
Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for joining us.